Chapter 6. Home, Sweet Home. All I ever wanted was to survive. I thought the world was a cruel place where the strong beat the weak. I was happy if people didn't attack me, shout at me, or steal from me. I never dreamt that people could care about me. Soon, everything I thought about life changed. When the policeman brought me to Dr. Treves, he thanked them. Then he took me up to the hospital attic because he didn't want to frighten the other patients. He ordered the nurses to bring me food and a hospital bed.
"Mr. Merrick," Dr. Treves told me, "don't be offended, but you smell terrible. We're going to give you a bath."
The nurses cleaned me and fed me, but they didn't look at me. They stared at the ground. I understood them. After all, if I saw myself for the first time, I would be scared too. When I was clean, fed and rested, Dr. Treves came to visit me in the attic. We spoke for a long time. I was happy that he could understand me. I don't just mean he understood my feelings. He actually understood the words I said. For some reason, he could listen to my strange voice and understand what I was trying to say. First, he gave me some medicine for my cough, and then he asked me many questions about my life. I told him about my early years and the books and poems I read as a child. He was very surprised by this. Finally, he said, "What do you want most of all, Mr. Merrick?" "Most of all," I said, "I would like to have a home." The next day, Dr. Treves returned with Dr. Gom, the head of the hospital. But this time he said, "Go ahead, Mr. Merrick. Tell Dr. Gom about yourself. Recite some of the poems you've learned." I recited a passage from the Bible. "You see," Treves said to Dr. Gom, "this shows that he's not an imbecile. He is a human being with a brain and a soul." Dr. Gom said, "It was a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Merrick. Please excuse us. I want to speak to Dr. Treves outside." I stood by the door and listened to them argue. "Treves," Dr. Gom said, "I understand that you want to help this poor man. But as I told you before, this is a hospital. It is not a hotel for the insane or the deformed. But as you can see, John Joseph Merrick is not insane at all," Dr. Treves said. "He is just very unlucky to look the way he does. He may have a mind, but his physical condition is incurable," Dr. Gom said. "Our job is to cure people, and we don't admit incurables into our hospital. Why would we? If we can't cure them, we can't help them. And if we can't help them, they don't belong here." Dr. Treves said, "Dr. Gom, what do you want me to do? Throw him back onto the streets? The policeman told me that a crowd almost killed him at the train station." "I don't want to see him harmed, any more than you do," Dr. Gom said. "But," Dr. Treves interrupted, "if we abandon him now, he will surely die." I heard some whispering. Then Dr. Gom walked away. "Any day now," I thought to myself, "they will kick me out of this hospital. Then I'll have to find another circus. Or else I'll get killed and thrown in the river." A few days passed in the attic. The nurses fed me and gave me medicine. My cough slowly improved, but I knew that I couldn't stay forever. Then, one morning, Dr. Treves ran into my attic room with a newspaper. He was very excited.
"John," he said, "I've got good news for you."
"What has happened?" I asked.
"Dr. Gom has written a letter to the Times newspaper. He described your case, and he asked the public for help." I wasn't sure this was such a good idea. I said, "Who would want to help a creature like me?" "Think positively, John," the doctor said. "You never know what good news might be around the corner." But all that night, alone in the attic, I imagined the people of London reading about my case. I pictured the wild crowd at Liverpool Street Station. Maybe they would want to cage me in the zoo like an animal. Or maybe they would want to burn me. People can be very cruel when they are afraid. The following Sunday, Dr. Treves came to visit me in the attic once more. He seemed very happy. "John, you aren't going to believe this," he said. "The public loves you." "What do you mean?" I asked. "The Times has received dozens of letters and donations, all to help John Joseph Merrick. The British Medical Journal wants to write about you, and Dr. Gom has found you some financial help." "Financial help?" I asked, sitting up on my bed. "Does this mean you will be able to find a cure?" Dr. Treves became serious. He sat in a chair beside my hospital bed and sighed. "I'm not going to lie to you, John," he said. "I'm not sure if we'll be able to cure you. But we will care for you. You are fragile, and this means that you are going to need a safe place to live. I want you to stay here in the London hospital. I guarantee that you will always have a shelter here for the rest of your life."
"You mean I can stay here?" I asked. "No more freak shows?"
"No more freak shows, John," Dr. Treves said. "You aren't a freak. You are part of our family, and you belong here with us."
I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Maybe they couldn't cure me, but at least I wouldn't have to show my face and body to screaming crowds. I would have a place to stay, out of the rain and far from the brutes. Finally, I would have a real home. The following week, hospital workers moved me from the attic to Bedstead Square on the ground floor of the hospital. Even the head nurse was no longer afraid of me. She looked at me and said, "This is your permanent residence, Mr. Merrick. It is yours and yours alone. If you need any help, just ring for me." It was wonderful. The rooms overlooked a beautiful courtyard with green grass and red rose bushes. The walls and floors were clean and shiny. They built a special bed for me. I even had my own chair and desk. I had books to read and paper to write on. And, at the good doctor's request, there were no mirrors. My life was so much better now. I woke to the sound of birds singing in the rose garden. The sunlight poured through my windows across the clean white sheets. I bathed with sweet-smelling soaps and I wore clean clothes. I didn't have to hide my face from anyone. Even the nurses became less afraid of me. They brought me eggs, toast and tea and were happy to talk to me about my day. Every Sunday, Dr. Treves came to visit. We talked for hours about everything. On one of these visits, the most extraordinary thing happened. Dr. Treves left his notebook behind. Of course, I could not resist reading it, just a little. I opened it and turned to the last page. At first, his handwriting was hard to read, but I read slowly. 26th of March, 1887. The patient has been living at the London Hospital for several months now. I had trouble understanding him at first, but I am happy to say that I can now comprehend his speech. John Joseph Merrick is much more intelligent than he appears. He is a surprisingly friendly fellow, especially for someone who has suffered so much. He has been maltreated by society and turned into a spectacle. This is perhaps the most incredible thing of all. Although he is happy that he no longer performs. He does not hate his old managers. He is grateful that they gave him work. He is too kind. Mr. Merrick reads, writes, and is a very sensitive soul. At times he seems lonely or depressed. This is not surprising, since he has spent almost no time with women. Still, he is a romantic. Most of his ideas about love come from poems and books. Of course, most women are afraid to be in the same room as him. He even hopes that one day he may meet a woman who will not see his deformities. Actually, I want him to meet a woman. I think it would be good for him. I'm going to teach John how to act in polite company. One day, somehow, I am going to turn John Joseph Merrick into a real English gentleman.